Thank you, worship leader. The journey of the soul into the descent into this physical body here on earth, its main purpose is to find God. That's it. So the question, what do you want most, should reflect that in the way we live our life. It does not mean you cannot have fun, enjoy the physical, whatever the physical earth produces. But a soul that forgets that complicates things for itself. As it is said in the scriptures of both Jewish and Christian Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, and Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, seek the Lord with all your heart. That was Jesus quoting the Old Testament. Deuteronomy is from the Pentateuch, and Jeremiah is part of the Old Testament. Which means to pursue God with unwavering devotion, sincerity, and wholehearted commitment, rather than partially or as an afterthought. Most of us, unless something really grabs us as a serious challenge, we just dabble with God. God has become our ATM. A credit card, and what's the other coin that, you know, Bitcoin. All of us wants to be saintly. We want to be fully realized in God. We just don't want to do the work. I mean, wholeheartedness, unwavering devotion, sincerity, that commitment, not partial or an afterthought. So that means we need to prioritize our relationship with God through consistent prayer, worship, devotion, meditation, rituals and ceremonies, obedience. And we need to make sure that Ori is in perfect harmony with divine purpose. For those of you who don't know what your Ori is, it means your head, your inner, that represents the divine spark. We should have that deep and passionate desire to know God. The act of seeking God should be consistent and sincere, not a last minute or superficial attempt. And Jeremiah continues, said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He didn't say partial heart. And the book of Deuteronomy says, but if from there you will seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what Jesus quoted in the New Testament. He was talking from the Old Testament. It is okay to express our devotion to God in whatever way it comes to you. If you want to talk to God, don't talk to God with your mind on, you know, the steak you're going to eat. Focus wholeheartedly. If all you want to do is stay in the place of silence, do that. And it is okay and it is required to be compliant, to be obedient to God's will for our purpose and plan for us, not our own plan. Because once you discern that, then we can go forward and give it all we got. I mean, we do it in business. We do it in our work, unless your work is not, you know, they're not paying you well, or they're just taking advantage of them, like, well, I'll give them what they give to me. But the one who gives us that breath of life, we should give it all we got. And this is something Yogananda said. This is on page 239 in Yogananda's book, Man's Eternal Quest. I'm reading the short, it's a long thing, but I'm reading the short one that really drives it home for me. The invisible man is free from suffering and death. Who is the invisible man? I remember in high school, I loved the novel by H.G. Wells, Invisible Man. I wanted to be the invisible man, where I can show up before I disappear. And I say, hello, where are you? Where are you? This is what Yogananda said. To live only in the consciousness of this visible body of flesh is spiritually retarding. For the body is subject to the sufferings of disease, injury, poverty, hunger, and death. We should not desire to think of ourselves as this visible body, this visible, vulnerable, destructible body. The invisible man within us cannot be hurt or killed. Should we not strive more to realize our unknown immortal nature? By increasing our knowledge of this invisible self, we will be able to control the man visible, as great masters do. So in other words, the desire of the world should not be ruling. We should, when we love God with our whole heart and everything we got. Even when the visible man is in distress, he who is aware of his divine powers as the invisible man within can remain detached from physical suffering. So how would you gain such control? That is the key here now. How do we gain that control to live the invisible one? First, you must learn to live more in silence. That's why the proverb, God gave us one mouth, two ears. Listen more to the inner. Speak less. Of course, including me, we want to talk our ears out. I mean, I'm doing it now, reading the sermon, isn't it? Maybe one word is just enough, but no, we got to express it. To gain that comfort, we must learn to live more in silence. We must learn to meditate. Not on the desire of the body, but God. Wholeheartedly give it to God. It may seem uninteresting at first, because we have kept so closely in touch with this visible body that we have difficulty in thinking about anything except in ceaseless troubles, desires, and demands. Because that's what it is. Okay, I want to go here. I want to own this. I want to do this. There's nothing wrong with that if they are just afterthought. God first, the afterthought. But no, we switched it. God is an afterthought, and then this one, our desires are the main focus. But he encourages us here, but make the effort, keeping your eyes closed, repeat again and again, I am made in the image of God. My life cannot be destroyed by any means. I am the invisible man everlasting. If you're going to say that, I am made in the image of God, that means you realize that focusing on God totally in that devotion, that is it. So that I can follow my own advice. They say action speaks more than words, isn't it? Words are good to inspire, but action speaks. So I'm going to read a story. So I'm not going to prolong talking and sermonizing everything. So what should we want most? So there was once a young boy whose name is Go Figure. That's the name of the boy, Go Figure, who came to a monk, a spiritual teacher, who's meditating by a river called Do Nothing River. So Go Figure went to meet the spiritual teacher at Do Nothing River. So the young man came to the master and said, Master, I wish to become your disciple. The teacher and monk asked, Why? Why do you want to become my disciple? The young man thought for a moment and replied, Because I want to find God. Really? At this Do Nothing River? Okay. Just then, suddenly, the monk jumped up and grabbed the young man by his neck. He dragged him into the river and plunged his head under the water. The young man struggled to free himself. After a minute, the monk finally pulled him out of water. Of course, the young man was gasping for air and coughing out, you know, water. After some time, when the young man finally has quieted down from his struggle, then the monk questioned him and asked him, Tell me, what did you want the most when you were under the water? The young man said, I just wanted to, answered the young man. Then the monk replied, Very well, son. Go home and come back to me when you want God as much as you wanted air inside the water. And that's the way it should be for us. We should want God the most in everything, because the air we wanted, who provided it? So if we so desire God wholeheartedly like that, oh, guess what? None of us will be hanging out here. We will all be realized. You and I will be drinking whatever. It won't even be Starbucks. We'll be mixing chocolate and coffee and beer and alcohol, and nothing will happen to us. We won't need to go to the doctors. Nobody will tell us we are putting weight. Nobody will tell us we can't sleep. Because then we are free from all this earthly desire. So think about it. What do you want most? God or air. But you got to know who butters your bread. May we, in our hearts of hearts, always desire what is best for us. And that is the one who created us, Almighty God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.